Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arseblog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. I'd love to be able to tell you that this is one of the most upbeat, positive, cheery podcasts you'll ever hear in your life, but the harsh reality is that it's not. Because, well, let's face it, things on the pitch haven't been exactly brilliant. And that's the way it works, isn't it? This is a week-by-week thing. One week we're up, the next week we're down. And it's all down to the team, really. What they do affects our mood. And this week, I can't imagine anyone's mood is particularly good. Which is a bit of a shame. Because I like it when things are good. It's just much better when we win. And much better when we play well. And when the results are good. And when at least it looks like we give a shit. I don't take any great pleasure at all in seeing us play badly or seeing us lose. I know there are some people out there who really do appear to. But then again, there are some people who like to have their chest pooed on by a donkey before they have sex with a falcon. I don't claim to understand them in any way, but I accept the fact that they're there. And this week has been, well, pretty bad. The Leeds game was not great, and the Ipswich game was even worse. With me in a few moments' time to talk about those games will be Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog.com. Internet Joe will be along. We've got Arshavin. He'll be here, and he'll explain exactly why he's in such bad form. That's coming up a bit later on, and as well as that, we'll look ahead to the West Ham game tomorrow, when we need to get things back on track. So let's start with what's happened between the last Arsecast and this one. Well, the Leeds game of the weekend, you know how much I wanted to beat Leeds. In the end, I was very grateful that we got a draw right at the very death. And I know some people afterwards questioned whether or not we deserved anything from the game, but I think we did. I think we definitely did. I certainly don't think Leeds deserved to win it. We had chances and should have done better with them. Story of our lives, really, isn't it, at the moment? And then, of course, when you don't take those chances and give away a stupid, ridiculous penalty like the one Danielson did, well, you're always going to make life a bit more difficult for yourselves. And Chesney made a good save, and we brought on Walcott and Fabregas, and in the end, that's what made the difference. Theo pulled back in the box, and Cesc stepped up and scored the penalty, and we get a replay. And FA Cup replay, we've been here before many times. No big complaints. I'd rather be in the cup than out of the cup, that's for sure. But if we thought that performance might wake us up going into the game against Ipswich on Wednesday night, well then, we were wrong. And that's a disappointment, because the way we played against Ipswich and the way we approached the game was pretty bad. It was another example of one of those games where we thought we just had to turn up, pass the ball around a bit, eventually we get a goal and probably another one, and then they might score and it'd all be a bit, ooh, hang on at the end, but we'd win it. And it wasn't like that at all. And I made the comparison on the blog between the Chelsea game and the Ipswich game. Now, the Chelsea game is the way that this Arsenal team should play. Not just against Chelsea and not against Man United and not against Barcelona. That is the way it should play every game. The commitment, the energy, the aggression, the pressing. It's difficult and it's tiring. Absolutely, I accept that, but it brings rewards. Look at the scoreline. Arsenal 3, Chelsea 0. When you don't do that, you put yourself in real danger of being punished. And Arsenal didn't do any of that on Wednesday night against Ipswich. Above all else, I don't want to go into the individual performances, and we all know who played badly and who played worse than badly. But the thing that got me was the amount of times the ball dropped in midfield without a challenge from an Arsenal player. Nobody anywhere near it. Either from a kick out, from the second ball, it's bouncing around in midfield, and we're not even trying to win the ball. And that's what got me, and that summed up Arsenal's attitude. Complacent, bit lazy, not really into it, and it's fairly unforgivable considering it's a cup semi-final. Now, I know it's two legs and it's only half-time, so to speak, but it's a cup semi-final. And you're trying to win a trophy for the club for the first time in 5 years. I don't know how many times you got reminded of that during the commentary on Wednesday night. I think 3 times in the first 9 minutes. So it's important for this club and important for the fans and important for the players to win something, to show that they can win something. But they went out there and looked as if they weren't arsed. And that was a huge, huge disappointment. And there's the difference. Work hard, beat Chelsea 3-0. Don't work hard, and you get beaten 1-0 by Ipswich, lying 19th in the championship, with no manager, having just been beaten 7-0 by Chelsea. So it wasn't a good showing at all. And as I said in the blog, ultimately, you have to ask questions of the manager. Because he is the one in the dressing room who puts his team out, who motivates them, who talks to them before the game, who stresses to them the importance of, you know, what it is they're going to do for the 90 minutes. Clearly he can get them up for a game like Chelsea. He should be able to get them up for every game like that. And that's the difference between a side that is capable of a good game or a great game and a great side. And we're not a great side. We're a side that can turn it on sometimes, and when we do, it's absolutely fantastic to watch. But ask for any kind of consistency of performance, we don't have it. And it's not even consistency of performance, but consistency of effort and character. And I don't mind, I've said it plenty of times, if we go out and give everything and get beaten, I really don't mind. I do not have a problem with it. I do have a problem when an Arsenal team out there is not representing the Arsenal shirt well enough. And that's what happened on Wednesday night. A cup semi-final and we play like that. I mean, what's going on? How can you go into a cup semi-final and play like that? And these are Arsenal's players, and he's the manager. And at every other football club, the buck stops with the manager. And it just seems to me, perhaps, there's a reluctance for the buck to stop with Arsene among some fans. And I'm not talking about Arsene Wenger out or anything like that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that it's too easy to blame players. And I do it, I think everyone does it, where you go, well, he had a terrible game and he's shit and let's kill that one and let's bring this guy over here and chop his head off. But ultimately, these are all his players, bought by him or brought through the system by him, all educated by him. And the failings that we have, well, they must come from him. The good things come from him, right? Everyone's happy to praise when they see Arsenal play well. They say, well, Arsene Wenger, he's a great coach. And, you know, he is. He is capable of making teams play brilliant football. But why is it when they don't play brilliant football, when they show the same weaknesses over and over again, the lack of character, the underestimating opponents, the weakness at the centre of our defence, no questions then, or not enough questions? Maybe he needs to feel a bit more pressure. If he gets the props when the team play well, absolutely fine. But he's got to take some of the other side of it as well when they don't. So there you go. Disappointing. Hopefully we can turn it around in the second leg against Ipswich, because frankly, the idea of not reaching the Carling Cup final is unthinkable. And frankly, the idea of not winning the Carling Cup, given the fact it's us, Ipswich, West Ham and Birmingham as the only ones left in the competition, the idea of not winning it would be fairly unthinkable too. So they've got a couple of weeks to sort themselves out ahead of that game. Anyway, before we go and talk to Gilberto Silva, here's Internet Joe.
Oh, I'm Internet Joe, and here's me 32nd roundup. Cup football, nothing like it. Lower league opposition, what could possibly go wrong? Leeds, this'll be routine. Come on lads, where's the goals? Danielson gives away a penalty. He must be the worst Brazilian since Medusa got Edward Scissorhands to wax our minge. We're gonna lose. Penalty, no. Penalty, yes. Cesc saved the day. Ipswich in the Carling Cup. This will be easy now. Lads, what the fuck was that? Even I could be Ipswich on me own.
Internet Joe will return on next week's Arscast, and you know he's the kind of guy who would get pooed on by a donkey and have sex with a falcon. You can tell by his face. I mean, you can't. I can. Well, yeah, take my word for it. He would. He really would. Still to come, Arshavin will be looking ahead to the West Ham game as well. But now with me to discuss all the joys of the week, I'm glad to welcome Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog.com. Hello there.
Hello there.
And not a particularly good week of cup football for Arsenal. It's brought us much joy down the years, but this particular week and this last few days hasn't been as exciting as we might like. We'll start with Leeds because we can come on to the Carling Cup in due course and in context with that. But he made a lot of changes for the Leeds game, completely understandable. The performance wasn't good. And it took a penalty at the end to sort of get us out of jail and get us a replay. Now, while we accept the fact that many of the players have spent time on the bench, and it's not, I don't think it's fair to expect them to come on and having not played for so long, be in brilliant form, I do, however, think we could expect better from them.
Yeah, I think so. And when you look at the, you know, we beat Wigan with a side in the Carling Cup with a side that was very much mixed up. We beat Newcastle. We beat Tottenham even with sides that were sort of, you know, of a similar caliber of player, been out the side and been brought in at short notice. So we clearly have got the potential to go and do it. What was incredibly disappointing was the malaise that seemed to be there among the players. I mean, there just seemed to be an assumption that given time, eventually we would score and everything would be well. What happened, in fact, was we ended up conceding a really stupid goal and very nearly found ourselves out of the cup.
Mm. Now, in comparison to the Carling Cup game, which we'll come to, we did make chances against Leeds and didn't take those chances. And then, of course, you know, we do our own self-destruct thing where we allow the opposition to score a goal. So there's a little bit of a worry that the chances that we're making in that particular game weren't being taken. And like you say, you talk about a malaise, and I think that was present in the Carling Cup game as well, that there are players who are really particularly badly informed, and I know you're a fan of Andre Arshavin, but he looks an absolute shadow of his former self. Now, whether he's doing enough to get himself out of that funk, I don't know.
But no, you know, it may well be. You're absolutely right. I'm one of the people who's defended Arshavin more than others. Though, one thing I would say is I don't know if he's been through a period like this in his career, and I don't know if he himself knows, you know, the way to get out of it. It is actually quite, I mean, it was incredible in the Leeds game that I was in the stands and the fans were very frustrated with the team's performance. And I think we were, you know, if Arshavin's number had gone up, which you seem to think it had quite a few times, I think we might have had one of those Aboué situations, you know, where the fans really let out their frustrations. I think Nicholas Bentner as well was coming under that kind of pressure again, and I can understand the frustration. It is, for me, more watching Arshavin is sort of quite painful at the moment, because he is a guy with so much ability, and there's just been a couple of moments over these past two games where, you know, he's mishit a shot or miscontrolled a ball and his head's gone down, and when that starts happening, it's very worrying, because, you know, what makes a creative player potent is their confidence. When that's gone, getting it back is a difficult thing to do. What I will agree with you on is that the way to do that, the way to get the lucky break that starts, you know, the return to form, is to run your ass off, essentially.
And yeah, we haven't really seen that.
No, we haven't. And that's, you know, it's probably not something he's ever had to do, I should imagine. I mean, he was in a place in the Russian league where, you know, he was the undisputed star. It looked very much that way when he came into Arsenal, and it hasn't turned out like that. And I think this is, funnily enough, at 29 years of old, not 29 years of age, sorry, something of a learning curve for him. I hope he can learn the lessons he needs to and find form, because I think we're a better side with him in. Mm. If he doesn't, then, you know, obviously that's something that the manager has to take into account and look to address. I mean, I think the responsibility partially comes to Austin as well. He's got to find a way to motivate this guy, because, you know, we've got a big few months coming up.
That's a test of character as much as anything else.
Definitely.
All right, well, he didn't have a great game against Ipswich, and, you know, he's not alone in that. Ipswich had been beaten 7-0 by Chelsea, and I know that it's a ridiculous thing to say because no two games of football are the same. Just because Chelsea beat Ipswich 7-0 doesn't mean we should beat them 7-0. But we put out a team that I think was more than capable of going to a team lying 19th in the Championship without a manager and winning the game. And I pointed out in the blog that there's sort of chalk and cheese in terms of the performance and effort from the Arsenal teams. The one that played Chelsea and did so well and pressed and pressurised the opponents and forced them into mistakes. And the one against Ipswich that kind of sat back and went through the motions as if to say, well, you know, we'll get a goal at some point and then, you know, that'll be that. We don't seem to learn this lesson because you can rattle off the games, can't you? You can rattle off Newcastle, West Brom this season. You can go back to that game against Hull. There are countless examples of how this Arsenal team goes into games ill-prepared, perhaps in a not physically, but mentally ill-prepared for the opposition. That they don't think they have to do it. And that, I think, has to come back on the manager, because we can all point fingers at the players as much as we like, and we know there were some rotten performances, but at the end of the day, these are his players that he has bought and coached and educated and brought into the side, and it's surely up to him to put them out on the pitch with the right frame of mind and in the right frame of mind to give the effort required to win the game of football.
I agree. I mean, there's been a lot of talk recently about team selections. You know, people were unhappy with the team that played at Wigan with all those changes. People might have said, well, you know, why weren't some of the bigger names, the guys like Nasri, you know, over these past two cup games? My opinion is that, as you say, the team that we put out is almost always strong enough to win the game. It's always got some fantastic players in it. If you told someone that we'd be playing a Carling Cup match with Cesc Fabregas, Andre Sharvin and Theo Walcott all in the starting lineup, that would show you how serious we were taking the competition. What's worrying is that whoever plays, the same psychological problems seem to occur against some opponents. And what was particularly disappointing about last night was that we just didn't create a chance. We had no urgency. You know, there was an opportunity to go and win the tie, I think, and have, you know, render that second fixture almost redundant. And for that to be a chance to take it a bit easy, you know, to be a bit lackadaisical. As it is, we've now got a hugely pressurised 90 minutes coming up, because going out of this cup at this stage with the teams that are left in it would be nothing short of a huge embarrassment.
I would agree with that. And the other thing I wanted to touch on, and we can talk about this in relation to what's required in January, because I think, you know, at this point we all know that a signing is required, but the ease at which our defence was dismantled. It's a congenital defect, it seems, at this point.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/arsblog. I thought during Koscielny have been pretty good as a partnership in general, but we see this where a long punt downfield can completely and utterly take apart our defence, and the centre of our defence in particular. It looks bad for Thomas Vermaelen in the sense that they're putting him under the knife. He's going to undergo surgery, and we're told that the surgery is more exploratory than specific. So they're looking to see what they can find as to why he's out. And that, to me, suggests that he's not going to play much of a part for the rest of this season.
Yeah.
Skilacci is injured, got a hamstring problem, and to me is a guy who hasn't quite settled in yet. Juru has been out injured, could be... You know, all it takes is two injuries or two knocks in a game and we're down to no centre-halves. So the need for a new defender doesn't apply simply because we've got Vermaelen out. I think we need it because we need to add something different to the centre of our defence. A signing is absolutely essential, I think, if we have ambitions to go on and at least continue to challenge.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what's extraordinary is if you look at the centre-backs that we have, you know, we made big changes in the summer. We brought in two guys, Skilacci and Koscielny, for a significant sum of money. I mean, about £15 million between them. And do you know what? For the life of me, I couldn't tell you if they're any good or not, really. It's very odd. I mean, Koscielny has moments of being superb on the ball, you know, wonderful time tackles, great interceptions. He brings the ball out of defence brilliantly. But he seems to be liable, I mean, I know it's his first season in English football, to make a rick and to cost you a goal. Skilacci is a sort of steady player, but has he got what it takes to play at the highest level? I'm not necessarily convinced. Of the options we've got, Juru's the man in form. Juru's the one who looks like, you know, a serious contender to be a regular starter in the team, sort of indisputably. The Vermaelen situation is very worrying. I mean, you forget what huge player he was for us last season. I mean, he transformed the team in some ways with what he added in terms of his aggression, his commitment, a little bit of organisation. If we can buy in to replace him now, I'd be delighted. I would love us to sign a solid, experienced defender, ideally someone who knows English football, ideally someone who is able to, you know, galvanise those around him, try and add a bit of structure to our defending. What worries me is that I find it hard to pick somebody out. And granted, Arsene Wenger has a fleet of people who employs to do that job, and doubtless they know a hell of a lot more than me. But to have those specific qualities of being ready to step into English football and be comfortable immediately is tricky. And it wouldn't surprise me if we end up with anything, it might be a stopgap short-term solution a la Sol Campbell last year.
There's a bit of talk about Matthew Upson.
Well, that would be very much that sort of signing. Mm. I mean, I'd be very surprised if Matthew Upson came back, just because of the way in which he left the club wasn't entirely amicable. I think there was a lot of grievances on his part about feeling that he hadn't been given the necessary opportunities, which he may well have had a point. You know, I think he felt a little bit discriminated against on account of his Englishness. Now, whether the opportunity to come back and play Champions League football again will be enough for him to forget about all that remains to be seen. But I don't think that would be a disastrous signing. I think he'd be a solid player, a decent squad player. But, you know, he's been playing almost every game for a West Ham side who are, you know, right at the foot of the table. Granted, they've got a lot of problems around him, but his track record in recent years, I don't think is particularly impressive. And anyone who saw him playing at the World Cup will have seen that at the top level, he did seem to struggle.
Mm. And isn't it, I mean, very briefly, I know you talk about a stopgap signing, and to be honest, that's kind of what I see happening as well, because the manager will talk about January and being difficult to identify your targets outside, and clubs don't want to let their best players go. But isn't it about time that we stop with the stopgaps really identified the problem? We know what the problem is, let's go and fix it. And if it costs us an extra few million quid, well, to hell with it, because, you know, in the long term is what we need to do.
I agree. I mean, to me, you know, Skilacci is a stopgap as well. A guy who we bought to fill out the squad. I sort of think that, you know, we've been doing this for a long time now. Neil Warnock is a sort of hateful, sort of despisable individual, but he did say a thing once where he said, Arsene Wenger's a great manager. I just wish he'd let me buy him a centre-back. I sort of think he hits the nail on the head there a bit. I mean, it is a bit of an odd thing. I sort of think, you know, go out, spend a decent sum of money on a good defender. You know, we got it right with Vermaelen, and there's no reason that we can't do it again, but we might need to take the plunge. And for all Arsene says about January, you know, he bought Emmanuel Adebayor, who was cup-tied in January. He bought Andreas Schärfin, who was cup-tied in January. It's something he's done before. It's something that you can do. In some ways, the market is a clearer place in January. Clubs are sort of, the bigger clubs aren't on the market as much. So maybe there's an opportunity to go and poach somebody. Yeah. I mean, you know, you look at, just to throw a name out there, a guy like Simon Kjær, the Danish defender who just joined Wolfsburg a few months ago, that club is in a terrible state. You know, their manager's on the verge of being sacked. They're not going to qualify for Europe. You know, it's worth testing the resolve of these clubs at this time and seeing, you know, what, you know, just we've got to make a push for it because our season could stand or fall on if we can bring someone in.
Okay, very quickly, West Ham at the weekend, it's... Well, anything other than 3 points, fairly unthinkable. We need to get ourselves back on track. And, you know, like you say, they're right at the bottom. They're struggling. There's, I don't know how many people, I don't know why Avram Grant has a job. But, you know, if we can't beat an Avram Grant team like West Ham, then, you know, I kind of fear for the reaction.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been watching West Ham quite closely recently. I saw them play in the Carling Cup on Tuesday night. They're not a good side at all. What they will do is they'll have a great atmosphere for a big London derby, and they'll work hard. You know, they've got guys like Scott Parker, Mark Noble's back and fit, got Frederick Piquion runs his legs off up front. So we just really, you know, we'll need to match them, and if we match them, of course we're the better football team, and of course we'll go there and win. But, you know, we've had problems at Upton Park. We dropped points there, was it last season, and that was just through lack of concentration, and we let them back into the game in a situation where we simply shouldn't have done. It may have been the season before, I can't remember. But all we need to do is focus, work hard, bring in back in guys like Nasri, who are in, you know, a richer vein of forms than those who played the past couple of games. And indeed, we should win.
All right. OK, well, let's keep fingers crossed for that. Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog.com, thank you very much.
That's a pleasure.
You can find Gilberto Silva in the usual places, Gunnerblog.com or on Twitter, twitter.com/Gunnerblog. And speaking of Twitter, Arsene Wenger has been talking about his players using it. And as many of you know, there are quite a number of Arsenal players on there. Some of them are very entertaining. Some of them are quite boring. Some of them, I don't know what language it is they're speaking, but they're out there and they're engaging with people. And in the light of the Ryan Babel thing, where he's been charged by the FA for tweeting Howard Webb in a Man United shirt, it's interesting to hear the manager speak about it. He's not going to ban it, but he says it has to be in the interest of the club and not detrimental. He said, I don't like to go against progress because it's usually a lost battle, but we have to sit together and see how we can use this in the best possible way. He says, the key is to think before you tweet. It's kind of hard to imagine Arsene Wenger saying that. Think before you tweet. And that kind of takes all the fun out of it. Jesus Christ, if I was to think before I tweeted most of the time, well, it probably would be better for most people. Well, certainly for John Terry, but fuck John Terry at the end of the day. So it's interesting. And while I don't think it's possible that they can stop social media like Twitter and Facebook and players engaging more, and I think they just have to be aware, of course, that everything you say is being looked at. For example, today there was an article, and I use that word very loosely, in the Metro website. Basically, some guy has gone on Twitter and found a load of Arsenal fans talking about Arshavin and Bentner in the light of the Ipswich game. And there's this big story now about how Arsenal fans have slammed Bentner and Arshavin. And, you know, of course, anyone who's been on Twitter within 2 hours of a match ending that we haven't won 5-0 will know that there is a certain amount of ire and overreaction, and perhaps not a great deal of thought goes into many of the tweets. So it's just interesting. I don't think it will be long before we have our own Ryan Babel type situation on our hands. I just have a feeling about one or two of them. They might just cross the line. My favourite of all, I have to say, even though he's not the most prolific, is Wojciech Szczesny. He's really good value for, well, he's free, isn't he, on Twitter, but some of the stuff he says is really very funny indeed, and you can kind of see him take the piss a bit as well, which I like. There's a bit of intelligence to it too. So there. Anyway, that's Arsene Wenger talking about Twitter and Arsenal players. Coming up, a look ahead to the West Ham game now. Arshavin explains all.
Hello, I am Arshavin, and at the moment, not so good, because when play can hear Arsenal fan in the stand shout at me when don't score, they say, Arshavin, go make fuck with self, and you and your big belly, you are disgrace. And I say, don't listen to them, Boris, don't listen. But Boris Belly, he is a very sad little belly. And I am sad little Russian, because I know fans are right. But there is explanation for what happened. Eboué invite me to his house for dinner. And I go to dinner, and Eboué wife put down dinner on table, and I say, this is, what is word, filthy, disgusting muck. So I ring Domino's to get double stuffed crust pizza with extra cheese. And after dinner, Eboué children are playing, and one of them has bite me, and I feel strange when go home, and ever since have been very strange. When someone knock on door, I want to welcome this person into my home and give them top three things off top of my head. I don't understand. Now I am playing like a boy. And, I have had enough. I know there is only one thing I can do now. It's very difficult, because I have family, and it will be very hard. But I have to take a boy into woods and shoot him in face. Poor boy. Poor boy. But after this, I should score goal again. So, okay.
Well, there you go then. And if you're ever invited round to Eboué's house for dinner, don't let his children bite you. I think that's the lesson there. I think that's a good lesson to learn in general. Don't let anyone's children bite you, because you could catch super nits or something. You know these things children have. Anyway, let's look ahead to the West Ham game, and the team news is that Fabianski is 50-50. He picked up a shoulder injury, I think, in the warm-up against Manchester City, and that's been troubling him ever since. So Chesney could continue in goal. Danielson, you'll be very distraught to hear, has got a bit of a thigh problem and is a doubt. So, well, we might as well give West Ham the 3 points now, to be honest. The other absentees are Scilacci, of course, with his hamstring, Almunia, Diaby is out, and Vermaelen out, but I don't know the details of it, but I'm looking at the video on arsenal.com, and the story maybe about Vermaelen having surgery might be a little premature. I know that it was definitely planned, but maybe some further tests have shown that it's not necessary. Arsene says he has quite good news, but nothing particularly concrete about when he's going to return. He said there's no long-term concern over his Achilles injury beyond the 5 or 6 months he's already been out, which is quite long in general. It was 10 days, you might remember, back in October, and, well, I don't know. If we see Vermaelen again this season, I'll be pleasantly and quite happily surprised. In terms of us, well, what can you do? You've just got to pick yourself up and get ourselves back on track after the game against Ipswich. It's an important game because, obviously, Chelsea are playing at 3 o'clock. And then on Sunday, it's Manchester United versus Tottenham. So there are points going to be dropped by somebody along the way, and we have to take advantage of that. West Ham are in terrible form, but they're fighting for their life down the bottom of the table, and they'll give it a real scrap. And if we go into the game with the same kind of attitude that we went into the Ipswich game, well, I don't think it's going to be a particularly pleasant result. If we can pick ourselves up and refine the attitude and the desire that we showed to win the Chelsea game, then I think we'll win. And 3 points are important, and the games are coming. you know, every 3 or 4 days now, so I suspect there'll be a bit more rotation, but we need more from some of our players. And fingers crossed we get that against West Ham. A Thomas Rosicki goal? What? No? What? No. Couldn't possibly happen. Anyway, that's about that. All I'm hoping for, of course, is that this time next week when we're talking on the Arscast, everything is a lot happier and rosier. So until next week's Arscast, take it easy. I'll talk to you all week on the blog. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't know why people don't like Danielson. I mean, he's a bloody great player. Bloody great. I mean, when you go to the football on a Saturday, do you want to go and see... What's that fellow? You know the one that looks like a heroin addict who plays for Man United? Yeah, Fletcher. Nobody wants to go see Fletcher or Tom Huddleston. You know, you want to go see the good guy, the guy who can do something exceptional. You know, your Messi or Madonna or Bergenkamp, one of those guys. That's what Danielson. I mean, astonishing control. The movement, pace. I mean, I couldn't keep up with him even though I was in my car at all. And the other thing, you know, about Danielson, that people just... They can't get past his beauty. You know, the eyes, lips. Scares people. Beauty of that magnitude, it scares them. True. That's why nobody likes Helena Bonham Carter, you know. Yeah. Anyway, give the boy a break, I say. I mean, who would you rather have on your team? Nielsen or a hunchback dwarf crippled with spina bifida? What? Fuck off!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.